This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy in the car, just like you? Right now, times are really tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to make your drive around Melbourne fun. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macca and Tess.
We've got Hannah Olby in the studio. Hannah Olby is the founder and now the executive director of a new organisation called the Centre for Public Integrity. And we want to have a chat about public servants reporting misconduct. Good morning to you, Hannah.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
Very well, thank you. How's that for an introduction? Did I get it all right?
Yeah. So, yeah, the Centre for Public Integrity is a new think tank set up, just launched in July this year.
And you're the founder of that?
Yeah, I'm the executive director and founder. I've got a great board of retired judges and lawyers and experts. So we're an independent think tank looking to prevent corruption and promote integrity in public office.
So, Hannah, one of the, you know, I think this is much needed. Government is, they talk about freedom of information. It's actually freedom from information. They talk about transparency. They don't practice it. You know, we see organisations, whether it's, you know, a local council, whether it's a state government, a federal government, whether it's the taxation department, whether it's our security services, not wanting us to know what's going on. And when people in those organisations report misconduct or talk about misconduct, you know, they're chastised or prosecuted and marginalised. So how do we get to this point where politicians talk about transparency and, you know, freedom of information, yet they don't practice it? In fact, they do everything they can to make sure you don't know anything and that no one can ever tell you anything.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, I mean, on the plus side, there is more public debate around corruption and integrity issues now than ever before. And I think that's, you know, a positive thing, but also maybe reflecting on the scandals and ongoing work of the media in revealing some misconduct in the highest levels of office. You know, the difficult thing in Australia is that our federal system, our federal government is much less scrutinised than any state or local government. So we have anti-corruption agencies active at a state level in every state and territory in Australia, but there's no such agency at a federal level.
But there's nothing to see there, they would say.
Yeah, they say, you know, Canberra's different. And
yeah, nothing to see.
One of my board members likes to say, well, you know, why does the air suddenly clear around Queanbeyan? What's different about federal government? And in fact, there is a greater risk of corruption at a federal level because corruption follows money.
Follow the money.
Power, exactly. Yeah. And some of the budgets of the federal departments, you know, the Department of Defence, the Department of Health, are some of the greatest procurement budgets in Australia, you know, far outweighing any
hundreds
money
of
that the state, any state
billions,
government has to play around with. So
hang on. Are you saying that there is active corruption taking place in our federal government?
I would like
fears?
To be able to answer that question, but I can't because nobody knows.
I think it's easier to say we don't know.
We don't know, but there is the ingredients are there, I suppose, and there's no the public doesn't have enough information to know whether public office is being conducted in the public interest, and that's what we're supporting. I guess
so
at the moment.
How can you do that then? How can you investigate that and offer advice about, you know, how to do it with integrity?
So we research policy mechanisms and reform areas for, you know, based on experience at a state level in Australia, but also looking overseas at what mechanisms are in place at a legislative level to prevent corruption, expose misconduct, and strengthen the integrity of the system. So what the Centre for Public Integrity does is we look at how a National Integrity Commission would function, how it needs to be designed to be effective, what kind of political donations and lobbying restrictions need to be in place to make sure that money in politics doesn't have an undue influence. So we're really looking at the policies and the legislative framework to increase public trust that if there is misconduct and allegations of misconduct and corruption, that is going to be investigated in public hearings, you know, like a royal commission, but also that if there is dirty money flowing through politics, that there are, you know, donations laws, expenditure caps in place that mean that it can't unduly influence an election.
Now, we're chatting with Hannah L. Albee, who's the founder and the executive director for the Centre for Public Integrity. So, Hannah, do you have like a manifesto or a statement of claims or set of principles or something that that guides your thinking and the work that you're doing?
Yeah, so we put together the board, which, as I said before, is made up of retired judges such as Tony Fitzgerald, who led the corruption inquiries into police corruption in Queensland in the 80s, and David Ipp, who's the former ICAC commissioner in New South Wales, who exposed a lot of corruption there. So really high-qualified people, and they put together an integrity reform agenda at our first meeting, which set out the priority areas of reform that they saw that were necessary to restore public trust and promote integrity in our system. The three elements of our integrity reform agenda are protecting the integrity of accountability institutions, number two, eliminating the undue influence of money in politics, and number three, establishing a strong and independent National Integrity Commission. So they're the three elements that we believe are the priority areas of reform to restore public trust and integrity.
And I would say, Hannah, or, you know, and Tess, that, you know, is there corruption in our federal government? Well, the ingredients you have are money, you have legislative power, you have enforcement mechanisms, you have large contracts, and you have a culture of secrecy. So you put all them together, you don't get honesty. You get corruption. And I don't know what corruption there is, but I can tell you there will be, and there is.
Hannah, could you comment on that?
Yeah, I think that's right. The potential is there. And I think the main point to make is that one of the crucial foundations of a functioning democracy is public trust. And if people don't trust the system that is making the laws, and they don't believe that their elected representatives, who we elect to serve in public interest, if the public doesn't believe that those elected representatives are always serving the public interest, then the rule of law will become eroded. But, you know, people will stop respecting our accountability institutions, and the foundations of democracy will start to falter, as we've seen internationally in the United States and other places where, you know, those accountability institutions have been undermined. So I think it's important for people to know whether there is corruption. But equally, what we believe is that why not have the strongest system you can have?
Of course.
In integrity. Yeah. Why
of course.
Not? If you've got nothing to hide, having a strong integrity system will increase public trust that their representatives, that the money that they're paying in tax is being spent and decisions are being made in the public interest. So from our perspective, it doesn't matter if there's corruption there or not, but let's find out. Let's strengthen the system so that public trust increases that the system is serving in their best interest.
And the other thing, you know, in this is, whilst individuals, you know, in terms of we want people to act with integrity, and individuals sometimes do, sometimes don't. But it's the institutions that they work for or that they represent that actually, that's also important, the culture there and the integrity there and being held to account. Because if you work for an organisation that is happy to look the other way or doesn't have enough controls in place or they don't know what's going on, then this is why, you know, a centre like this is so important, and people that have experience in this area. It's very easy to say, look, it's individuals, but those individuals have to operate within a system.
So, Macca, that goes straight to a question that one of our listeners has asked. Yeah. Often when we think about corruption, the focus is on individuals and bags of cash in the brown envelope, etc. What about institutionalised corruption?
Yeah, and I think that's where we need to increase the strength of our accountability institutions. If we can set up a National Integrity Commission, it will not only investigate individual cases of corruption or allegations of corruption, but it will also do work into researching and making policy recommendations and producing reports on how the systems can be strengthened. So, for example, in New South Wales, the Independent Commission Against Corruption is at the moment running a preventative inquiry. It's looking at how do we prevent corruption and how can our system be strengthened in the institutions, as the listener said, so that in New South Wales our politic is cleaner, and they're running an inquiry into lobbying and how institutions are engaging in lobbying and what can be strengthened in the system at an institutional level to stop lobbying having an undue influence.
Hannah, the other question that we've got is, who's funding your organisation?
Yeah, so we're funded by private individuals who support the work that we're doing. Listeners can donate if they're interested in the work and they want to support the work that we're doing. Our internet address is publicintegrity.org.au, and listeners can donate there. But we're funded solely independently by people that support our work.
So could individuals who make a large donation influence some of your agenda?
No.
And who determines your agenda?
The board.
The board.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. I think it's really important. All of us have interactions, you know, with large organisations, small organisations, whether it's government, whether it's private sector, whether it's public sector.
Macca, I find the rules that govern conflict of interest, for example, and some of the work that I do sitting on boards are so tight that I need to review my interests literally week by week.
Yeah.
And I have to go through and declare those week by week. Often I don't have anything to declare, but the current rules suggest that even if I'm offered something, I need to declare it. Even if I reject it, I need to be able to say that I've rejected that. And if all of my colleagues accept this offer and I don't, I need to be able to substantiate why I've done that. So that's taking integrity to another level, really.
And what we've found through the research is that there is an equality of integrity rules, because I agree with you, a lot of community organisations, any company acting with a board has these rules, and a lot of them don't apply to our federal politicians. It's quite strange.
I worked for a large, and I mean large, multinational corporate. And the compliance rules and the disclosure rules and the conflict of interest rules, if you applied them to our elected officials, none of them would be sitting on the leather.
Yeah.
Like, because
that didn't apply to them.
No, well, they don't. They don't. And just before we go, Hannah, the other thing is, all these rules are great and being able, you know, to ensure integrity, but if it's not transparent, if people can't see, you know, so if you represent an organisation on a board and you register your conflicts of interest, if people can't see that register, then what's the point of having it?
Yeah, public exposure is the most important thing, and it is really is the sunlight that gets rid of corruption, and you know that's one of the main reasons why public hearings in the public interest are so important in any corruption inquiries.
What a novel concept.
But also
what a novel concept.
Public reporting, public publication of all information is totally key. Yeah.
Hannah Albee, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thanks.
Thank you for coming in. I hope we can have this conversation again in a few months' time.
Yeah, great.
It'd be great to do a deeper dive and maybe pull out some case examples and share with us what some of your learnings might be.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.